Welcome to the Cerebral Flex Podcast. I'm your host, Namwon Sakati. Your other host is Jareth Blackstar. And this episode is about extraterrestrial life. That's the first part. And the other part is weird things that have happened to us, supernatural occurrences, or just odd things in general. So, how you doing today, Jareth?
I'm reacting slowly. I'm doing good today.
No judgment.
I got my COVID shot on Wednesday, and ever since I got my COVID shot, I've been a little spacey, but I don't normally get shots, so I think I'm just adjusting to it. That's all.
Yeah.
I'm officially microchipped by the government. They're going to be able to find me wherever I am because I definitely don't also always carry my phone with a GPS tracker on me.
I mean, if they had the money to put a microchip inside of a 24-gauge needle and shoot it in your muscular tissue and, like, be able to track you that way, they would have done that a long time ago.
Yeah. I think people who have fears about the vaccine are funny people.
They're interesting.
I'm not trying to invalidate their concerns, but I am. It's a little...
I think...
All right, well, we're just gonna start it off there.
I mean, I understand the distrust in the government. I get it. Like, they hide a lot of things from us. They do a lot of shady things. I get not trusting them, but to come up with, like, outlandish claims that they're sticking microchips in us with vaccine. No, they need us as a workforce until they replace us with robots. So until that point, we're batteries and we need to give them money. We make them money. And yeah, I mean, they want to track us, but again, like you said, you know, they can always track us.
Yes.
They can track us right now. We're on a webcam and a computer hooked up to the internet. Probably like at least one dude in a basement staring at this right now. So
what's up?
That much I would say, yeah, that's probably a thing.
What's up, one dude in the basement? Don't do anything weird. Like, please.
Yeah, don't jack off. Don't be jacking off, bro.
All right. So today's topic is about extraterrestrial life. I don't know about you, but I am a huge, huge fan of the X-Files. Have you ever watched that show? Yeah.
Star Trek and X-Files were my main two go-tos. My mom would actually let me stay up and watch those.
Yeah.
Those were the only two shows I was allowed to be up past my bedtime.
What time did the X-Files air back in the day?
I thought that one was Friday nights on Fox at like 8 p.m.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Star Trek was like Wednesday, and that was really late. It was like 9 p.m. So I like got into fights to stay up to watch Star Trek.
Nice, nice.
But yeah, X-Files was a definite favorite.
Well, speaking on what extraterrestrial life is, let's define extraterrestrial life. What is extraterrestrial life?
It's a hypothetical life outside of Earth and life that did not originate on Earth. And it can range from single-celled organisms like prokaryotes or other comparable life forms to Homo sapiens and not Homo sapiens, but sapient beings or intelligent beings. That could possibly bring forth civilizations which might be far more advanced than ours. So that's what that is. There's been speculation throughout time. The Fermi paradox, I think we should touch on first, just because, you know, the Fermi paradox is having trillions of stars and planets around us in our observable universe, at least, because, you know, there's more to the universe than what's observable. Yet having no evidence whatsoever for any extraterrestrial life being here. And that's what the Fermi paradox is. So there's like this guy, I think Frank Drake or something. Let me see here. Yeah, Frank Drake wrote an equation in 1961 called the Drake equation, which speculates the existence of sapient life elsewhere. I think you have a chart for that. A thingy with his equation. Yeah, that's what here's the Drake equation. So just to understand what all these variables mean, the N, the first little variable is the number of civilizations in our galaxy with which communication might be possible. The R with the subscript asterisk is the average rate of star formation in our galaxy. And then the F with the subscript P is the fraction of those stars that have planets. The N subscript E is the average number of planets that can potentially support life per star that has planets. F, what is that, a 1 or an I? Yeah, it's F subscript I is the fraction of planets with life that actually go on to develop intelligent life. And then the 1 with subscript C is the fraction of civilizations that develop a technology that releases detectable signs of their existence into space. And L is the length of time for which such civilizations release detectable signals into space. So that's what that equation is. But I will go on to say that you cannot use this equation for any real reason. The uncertainty associated with any derived value using this equation is so large that the equation cannot be used to draw firm conclusions, says, I don't remember what site I got that on. And then, this Frank Drake character made this equation to stimulate scientific conversation about the possibility of extraterrestrial life being in the universe. At the first meeting of the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence Institute located in Mountain View, California. But I enjoy the fact that he made this. I mean, I think it's a great, great little, you know, thought experiment.
Oh yeah, no, it's a very, I guess you could say, scientific way of looking at the probability of extraterrestrial life and whether or not it would exist. I'll post a link to this picture in the description of the video for you guys, because I've been having trouble blowing it up, so you guys can kind of like read it and try to get what he was saying. But I think the Fermi paradox, I mean, it's still hotly debated to this day. Like people try to prove or disprove it. It's not like a lot of the things that we talk about when it comes to the paranormal and spirituality and stuff like that. Carl Jung, a lot of the stuff's not, it's not easily provable, but it's fun to talk about and speculate on. Right. I think it would be very arrogant for us as a species, which we are an arrogant species because look at what we do to the earth. I think it'd be very arrogant as a species for us to assume that we're the only intelligent life in the universe.
Yeah, I think it'd be downright stupid to come to that conclusion. But I mean, like the Fermi paradox suggests, there's been no evidence, at least none that's been given to the public. So we have nothing to, you know, base these claims on other than the fact there are so many stars and planets that we can see with our telescopes. But I think the Michael Hart, he wrote an article called The Explanation for the Absence of Extraterrestrials on Earth.
Okay.
For the Royal Astronomical Society Quarterly Journal in 1975. And his main questions, I think, are perfect for this discussion. He said, either aliens never came because of a physical difficulty that makes space travel infeasible, which could be related to something in space not allowing travel. So maybe there's like, I don't know, great invisible walls made out of, I don't know, antimatter. Who knows? Who knows what's out there? You know, dark matter, dark energy. We don't know, obviously, how to travel even across our own galaxy, let alone how to like travel megaparsecs or anything like that. He said that it could be something in space not allowing for travel. It could be the extraterrestrials' biological makeup or their inability to engineer a spacecraft capable of traveling across, you know, that large of a distance, like, say, from Andromeda to us. But I'll talk more about distances. But his next question was, like, the aliens could have decided that it wasn't in their best interest to travel to, well, here's my take on it, a planet full of idiots. for a vacation or a science project, which I can get into that. It's logical. Like, okay, wow, that planet, it's like us looking at an anthill. Like, do I want to like get down there and take like an electron microscope or, you know, some super strong magnifying apparatus and go down into an anthill and like see how they're living? And some people do. I mean, there's some people that do that. Maybe there's like some bored alien scientists are like, I want to see what's going on with that anthill called Earth. You know, I wonder about that. Like, if they're just like, okay, wow, they're so dumb, but let's see what they're up to.
I think that the last one is the most probable one, that they know that we exist and that they are like, let's not.
But his third question actually goes against that and says, okay, well, we've only been here for 6,000 years. So, like, going back to distance, this one actually blew my mind this morning. I hadn't read this till just now, actually. But, like, our civilizations are so recent that it's possible that aliens just haven't reached us or even found out about us yet. Because if you think about light years, even at light speed, for instance, a light year is still a light year, right? So, like, the Milky Way is estimated to be, well, it was estimated to be 100,000 light years in diameter. Now they're saying it's bigger. So a three-year-old article from space.com said that the Milky Way would take 200,000 years at light speed to cross.
Wow.
And that the Milky Way was even bigger, you know, than they ever thought before. And that Andromeda is 2.5 million light years away. So our first civilizations were in 3000 BC. So that's like 6,000 years ago, you know, in Mesopotamia, which is now where Iraq is. So yeah, it's feasible to consider that aliens just haven't found out about us just because our signals that we emit haven't reached them yet, or they haven't, you know, the last time they came across this rock, it was a bunch of prokaryotes.
Well, another interesting thing too to consider would be maybe I know a lot of people speculate on this, and I think it became really popular with the translation of the tablets that they found in Mesopotamia. If you've ever heard of the Enuma Elish and that whole, I don't believe the whole Nibiru where the planet breaking off and there's a secret planet in our galaxy and all that stuff. But
that orbits the opposite way.
Yeah. Like just not that they haven't found weird things in space that don't apply to any type of laws of physics that we have. But I mean, the Nibiru one itself is just, it's just a little funny. But if you go and you think about like the mythology behind, like, I forget the name of the guy who translated the tablets supposedly and came up with that whole theory. Ah, I feel bad now.
His name was Tablet Translator-ish.
But a lot of theories are, which I think might be probable in the vein of like your whole like bored scientific aliens who want to like come down and experiment on us and stuff like that. Like, we very well could be the experiment of an alien race trying to create intelligent life. And, you know, they did what they did. They plopped us here and they flew off, and maybe they'll come back in another couple thousand years. Like,
or maybe they're watching,
or maybe they are watching. Yeah. 'Cause you do have weird things like the pyramids. They found I'm going to mess that up. It's too early in the morning. Gobekli Tepe in, where is that? It's somewhere in the Middle East. But they find all these weird things in the Middle East, all these massive structures that they had no technology to build back in the day that we've supposedly lost the technology for. And it is weird, especially when you look at things like ley lines and how most of them are along the equator of the Earth. It's weird. It's very odd stuff that's going on, and it makes you wonder if the ancients were dropped here by a race of aliens who are observing us or going to come back and observe us, or if they had like, what?
I never thought of it like that.
What?
Like that maybe they were already created elsewhere and that they were dropped off, and those first humans were knowledgeable enough of like the basics of alien like technology, then that's how they could get the pyramid to be like not even like, what is it, 0.3 degrees or 3 degrees off from like true north.
Yeah,
something stupid. The ability to do that, they can't even do that now.
Yeah,
with a structure that large.
Uh-huh.
It is very odd, and like how they moved all those monoliths, it is very weird. Very weird stuff.
Ancient Egypt is fascinating.
Yeah.
Same with the Aztecs. The Aztecs are fascinating. They have a bunch of pyramids. Anywhere that has like the large megalithic structures that have been here since when we supposed that humans were hunter-gatherers, like,
yeah,
It's weird. It's mind-blowing. There's no way to explain it.
I think the inside of the building's in there, a building like not too far off from like Library of Alexandria. There's like a building where there's 90-degree angles that would have had to been cut by like laser nowadays in order to get them like that.
I forget what that place is called, but
there's like spherical stones that have other things inside them that have like etchings that, again, we wouldn't be able to do with tools that they had back then. I don't know. There's a lot of questionable stuff going on there.
Yeah, it kind of gives light to the whole theory of like Atlantis having been an actual place and this age of like technological like advancement, the likes of which we've never seen. And I think actually, as if that were the case, and this was like a test in, maybe it's not a test in evolution, but it's a test in de-evolution. How much can you devolve?
Possible. Like, we gave them all these tools. Look how far they've fallen.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, look how odd they've gone in this weird direction of using coal. Like, look at them burning coal. That's so weird. What are they doing? I don't know.
Look at them just, you know, why are they wiping their asses with trees? Like, why are they cutting down trees to wipe their ass? That's fucking weird.
Yeah, I don't know, man. But like, remember like last week when we were talking about this and I was like, well, what about the extra layers? Like this is just in our own three-dimensional space. What if neutrinos have entire universes inside of them and like we're actually inside of a neutrino of a different dimension or level of universe and like we're in someone's toe or in someone's poop.
Yep.
This whole universe is encapsulated in someone's poop. Just a small speck, and like it gets flushed. We're going through their treatment plant. We're going through processing. We pop out somewhere, like we're still here, but like we've gone through this whole. We don't even know we've been pooped. We could be in someone's toe. We could be underneath someone's nail, like in someone's eyeball. Like no one knows what the hell is going on.
No,
it's fantastic.
Then you get into even weirder stuff. Like one of my favorite ones is multiverses and having multiple versions of yourself and. Multiple dimensions to the universe, universes stacked on top of universes on stacked on top of universes, all compressed into one. Like, it's too insane. The people who are coming up with these theories and researching this are the real magicians.
Yeah. If you have the ability to even partially understand string theory or loop quantum gravity, all hail. All hail the chief. Like I try to get into all that and I'm like, nah.
Yeah. I mean, it goes back to my theory of like, you need a combination of like science and a combination of like odd spiritual artistic like vision. But unfortunately, all the people who are like quantum physicists and come up with all these freaking weird theories, like none of them really care about changing the world at all because they're too caught up in trying to figure out the mysteries of the universe.
Yeah.
These are the people that could be saving us, but they're like,
well, it's like Soul, the movie Soul. Have you seen that?
No, I haven't seen
it's good.
One yet. I've heard it's good.
Yeah, it was cute. I would say I'd sum it up as cute, as most Disney films.
Yeah.
But, the lost souls. There's these lost souls.
Okay.
In there, like, not in the afterlife or before life or any, I'm not going to explain the whole movie to you, but like, they're just so preoccupied, obsessing about whatever that they get lost and they forget what life's about. So it makes sense that like people that are obsessed with anything, don't solve any of the actual issues because they're just too wrapped up. I mean, in order to learn all that stuff, you got to have massive amounts of time and energy spent, dedication. I mean, I understand. Like, and that's why when you talk to a doctor or even a veterinarian, like, they're kind of strange because they were not socialized throughout their entire 30s and, like, they had to spend their whole time being educated. So they're just kind of strange.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, most of them. Hey, don't get offended. Y'all kind of strange, all right?
No, it's get okay. offended.
It's okay. No, don't get offended. I know a lot of veterinarians.
Get offended. No. All right. So what was the next one that we wanted to talk about? Was it the I always mess it up. Is it the Boots Void or the Boutes Void?
The Buetties. Buetties Void.
The Buetties Void?
Yeah, Buetties, I think.
I don't know.
It's one from one of the Scandinavian languages or something.
Yeah, but it sounds
French. Maybe it's Germanic. I don't know what it is, honestly. I didn't look at the etymology of it.
Wow. Look at you, and you're supposed to be the etymologist.
Am I?
Yeah.
Everyone's like, Colin, this is Colin, the etymologist.
I mean, you play chess. Yeah. You've memorized all the countries, and you're like, you're super into language. So yes, you're the etymologist.
But I would argue that you're more of a wordsmith.
I don't know. I'm a writer, but you write raps and poetry. So,
well, this is a lot of love going on right now. But
in the channel description, it does say that you're the wordsmith and I'm a mystic. So
I don't know who's written more words on paper or on computer.
I don't know. I might have because I've written
interesting.
I've written a lot, but you've also been alive longer than me. So maybe you've written.
True.
I don't know.
True. Anyway, so I just wanted to point out, like, the science of extraterrestrial life is actually called astrobiology. I didn't know that.
Really?
Yeah, astrobiology. I did not
know that. That's so cool. Nope. Astrobiology.
Methods of locating extraterrestrial life range from analysis of telescopes and specimens to radios used to detect and send communication signals. Some sci-fi enthusiasts encourage aggressive methods to attempt contacting intelligent extraterrestrial life. Others, citing the tendency of technologically advanced human societies to ensure or wipe out less advanced societies. Basically, they argue that it may be more dangerous to call attention to ourselves because we are so primitive. And I agree more with that assessment. I don't think we should be trying to like reach out like, hey, call me, bro.
No, I don't like
that. Not a good idea.
I don't like the whole pinging out into space to get.
Well, what I don't get is the same motherfuckers, Englishmen, like Europe, the same people that colonized all the other countries on Earth and was like, you're weaker, so I'm going to take your shit, are now calling out to possible more advanced civilizations that, what, aren't going to do the same shit to you? What? Like, okay, NASA, okay, fucking Fermilab, okay, like all these places, CERN, they're so damn smart. But they, in their European concepts of colonization, don't realize that aliens will do the same shit to them. How? That's stupid.
Well, if you think of the X-Files in terms of like, and if you think of the media in general as terms of like propaganda, whether it's creative or not, like the X-Files kind of teaches an opposite to like the colonization of our Earth by aliens, like. They kind of take it and flip it on its head, like we are the overlords of the aliens, like they crash land here and we experiment on them, and we have an alliance with them because we're so terrifying.
That's weird,
which I find to be kind of arrogant, because I would think if you you're capable of space travel and traveling at speeds that we can't even comprehend, like why are you going to waste your time, first of all, fighting a war with a bunch of dumb apes with, you know, borders, idiots. Borders are stupid. Abolish
they
borders.
They're so dumb.
People always like to bitch. All right, little tangent, side tangent. People always like to bitch about like the New World Order, like being like this one world government that's going to control people. That's never going to happen, because then they wouldn't make any money. The New World Order will never happen. It's not profitable. You got to think of profit margin, folks. Anyway.
Yeah, and inflation.
And inflation. Oh,
if you got rid of inflation, had a like cryptocurrency for everyone worldwide, same currency. You all had the same language. You eradicated all religions. There'd be a lot of people that lose money in this, because there's a lot of people making money and keeping us divided.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway. Buetties Void.
Buetties Void.
I think I'm saying it right. I don't know. I did look that up.
I looked it up, it's not telling me how to pronounce it. But
we can call it the Great Nothing instead. It's also
was gonna say that. Another term for it is the Great Nothing, which is that is awesome. I like that.
You want to talk about it?
Inside all of us. All right, I'm done. Go ahead.
You want to? You can talk about it. I'm fine with it.
Okay. So the Buades Void, the Boots Void. I don't know. It's center is located at like the it's 330 million light years in diameter. And it's this ever-expanding void just out in the middle of space. They don't know what's causing it, but what it is doing is it's slowly eating star systems, and it's slowly growing. And it's not necessarily a black hole, which I find interesting. They don't know what to classify it as, and it's just this ever-expanding void that's just eating stars slowly, and they don't know what it is. They don't know who is... they don't know if it's like an alien civilization that's draining the power from stars. There's all sorts of weird theories about it. There's no scientific evidence for it. One, because it's so freaking far away, they can't figure out what it is. But they have noticed tracking it over time that it's slowly eating the galaxy. And maybe one day it'll eat all of ours in like 20 billion years.
I mean, I think we talked about this a long time ago. Like, it's more... probable, or well, it's not more probable, but it is probable that it's alien tech, like camouflaging an entire community of galaxies, because that so far it's like you said 330 million light years in diameter, so it's like 0.27% of the observable universe.
Point and they 27 said, not yeah not 2 points at 0.27.
did I say 2.7?
No, I'm just it's clarifying for people,
right? But that's a lot still. That's a large.
It is a lot. Yeah.
But yeah, like there's supposed to be like over 2,000 galaxies that could fit inside this motherfucker. Like that's how big it is. So what if it's all these 2,000 galaxies and all the life in those 2,000 galaxies got together and made like an alliance? And we're like, we need to camouflage ourselves from people that can pick up on our signals. And then like one alien's like right now, like, well, what if they detect our lack of signals? Like they're probably looking at this chunk of black space like, what?
Yeah, that would be the one. That would be the only downside to it, is like, again, like in camouflaging it, you'd be like kind of calling out your position like, hey, over here. So I don't
want to go there. If I was another advanced civilization out there that could travel, I wouldn't want to go there.
No, that's
like,
true.
Hell no. That, like, whatever they're using to cloak their entire 2,000 galaxies.
Yeah, no, I mean, humans are stupid enough to do it, but I think most people, if you were more intelligent, would fucking stay away. And that's what it all comes down to. We're stupid, arrogant apes. We're just not enlightened. And maybe that's what it was. Maybe they put us here on Earth, and we had the technology. And then they saw what we were doing with it, and they're like, yeah, no, we're going to take that away. Sorry.
And maybe there was already humans before the humans now.
Yeah.
And they did take the technology away.
Yeah.
What if they already did that?
That is possible, too.
Like, oh, shit. They're making helicopters, but they're literally burning stuff to make it fly, and they're polluting their own environment just to get them from point A to point B. And then they just took all our shit, and they're like, let's wait till they're on the verge of doing it again. Maybe this time we'll release the virus. I don't know.
No, I think that as far as the Boots Void goes, like, I don't think I think we think of things in a very like humanistic way, and like the entire way that people think of like it's an alien civilization eating the stars and using it as fuel and energy. That's a very human way of looking at things. Not that it's completely improbable. There probably are monstrous non-human races out there. Just kind of makes sense. But you would think if you're at a stage where you have technology where you can, you know, travel across the universe like that, that, you know, you'd be a little bit more responsible and enlightened with it.
You would think,
but I don't know. This is all speculation.
Well, I have people that, you know, don't believe a mask will help anyone, even though particulates leave your mouth and nose.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
That's weird. Like, particulates leave your mouth and nose, but a mask won't help.
Yeah.
Do explain.
No, I don't understand the whole. I don't even just understand Americans in general with the whole. Why should I wear a mask? Like, I'm not scared of the virus. Okay, but you could also spread the virus. And so in not wearing a mask, you're going to be, you could potentially be spreading the virus if you're asymptomatic. And like, that's just not cool to do to your fellow humans because.
Well, they're the same people that want to strap a gun to their waist to be heroes and protect others.
Yeah, I don't.
They
I don't
won't
get
protect
it.
Others by wearing a mask because it's their right not to. They got all their arguments all muddled up.
Well, it's other things too, like when it comes to like a common thing that you'll hear when it comes to like universal healthcare is like, well, they might raise my taxes and blah blah blah. But like, you should also, you know, say they raise your taxes a quarter of a percent, 0.25%. They raise your taxes. One, you get free healthcare, so you don't have to pay for it anymore. And two, like, even if you don't need that free healthcare. Like, what if somebody you know needs it and they weren't able to afford it because we didn't have universal health care? Like, there's no thought about.
It's weird.
It's very odd. I don't
because they spend 57 cents on each dollar that goes to the government on the military, which is there to protect you.
Right.
But they won't spend taxes to protect us with health care.
Yes, exactly.
Whatever. Like.
Our country and the ideology between the social classes is just bizarre. It's
weird. If they were honest, they would say, I like to kill and I don't like to save. I don't like to save lives. I just like to take them. That's what they want to say, but they're just not saying it. They like to use their like weapons and destruction as a like, oh, I'm helping. I'm protecting you.
Yeah.
No, there's just more death. The more guns we've seen here, the more death there's been. Like, how the hell are you helping anything?
I mean, Dick Cheney, he was pretty blatant about his love of money and killing people. I mean, he shot his friend in the face.
Well, that was the only Democrat on the hunting trip.
Was it a Democrat he shot?
I really do believe so, yeah.
I did not know
that. When I was reading the article, that's what it said. And I thought he was shot in the chest. I'm not sure. I thought it was in the chest.
I don't know.
It's and like Cheney visited the hospital and like gave him balloons and shit. If my ass shot you and we were hunting, my ass would be in jail. Like, what? You can't just go around shooting people just because you're on a hunting trip.
Dude, if you shot me and we were on a hunting trip and you came to the hospital with balloons, I'd be like, too soon.
Very good.
All right, so you said that you wanted to talk about distance.
Weird shit.
Why do you want to talk about distance?
Just saying that light year, you know, light year travel, you know, it would take 200,000 years just to travel across the Milky Way. That's why. Just that going back to that, it was just
how
much distance that there is between us and like say an intelligent life. Like you said, how far was the great nothing away from us?
Oh God, it's
light years is that. Like, so if that is an intelligent, you know, life in there that's creating that cloaking device, then it would take them that long to see our signals. And we've only been here for 6,000 years and we haven't been emitting signals for that long. We've only been emitting signals for a short time.
It is 700 million light years away.
See? So there's no way. Even with their, maybe they have super tech that can, you know, zoom in on something right now and they don't have to wait for things to travel.
Well, talking about distance, like, is it possible for, if there are intelligent life out there in advanced civilizations, do you think, like, with what we know about physics and how things work with fuel and all that, like, what is the probability of, like them having spacecraft like you would see in like Star Wars where you can jump to light speed and you can travel across the galaxy. Like what the amount of power it would take to do that, like how likely even is that?
Well, I mean, there's been lots of ideas. You could use solar winds. You could have like a type of sail type mechanism, but the ability to go faster than light speed is what you'd need. Like, say you wanted to cross large gaps and get from Andromeda to us, and that's 2.5 million light years away. They've already said, like, if you're traveling light speed, you'd need something going almost just as fast, going the opposite direction, just so you don't fall apart. From what I understand, there needs to be an internal mechanism that's, like, making you stabilize. There needs to be a stabilizing factor. We really need to have one of my friends on here that knows a lot more than me about this sort of thing. But yeah, as far as like traveling 2.5 million light years in, say, a day, we don't have the tech or physics to explain that.
Yeah. I mean, how long is a light year?
One light year?
Yeah. How long is a one light year?
I didn't look up how many miles one light year is. I can tell you that one parsec is 3.26 light years. One light year. How many miles? I don't know. Hey, Siri. How many miles is one light year?
One light year is 5,878,499,814,210.01 miles.
It's a lot of miles.
Okay.
So 5.9 trillion. Yeah.
That's a lot.
5.9 trillion miles.
That's a lot. Oh my goodness. Yeah, so yeah. The technology that you would need to do that, like, I don't know. I can't even comprehend what you would need to be able to travel one of those, let alone hundreds of millions of those.
Yeah, what the Voyager 2 or Voyager whatever, didn't it cross our it left our solar system?
I'm not sure.
I think isn't that over a light year? I don't know how many light years it's traveled. I feel like it's traveled a light year or not. I don't know. Maybe humans have created something that went that far.
Maybe.
But that's just one light year. So we're talking about 5.9 trillion of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's insane. Well, yeah. That's where you get into like the weird theories of like the fourth dimension, because everything is three-dimensional and intelligent life forms, aliens or whatever. I think, I don't even remember. Maybe it was the Joe Rogan, Alex Jones podcast. I can't. That guy's insane. But he was talking about,
which one of the two? I think Alex Jones would probably be more insane.
Oh no, Alex Jones. But it was Alex Jones has been on Joe Rogan twice, so I can't remember which one it was. It might have been the first one. But like talking about the elites and how they want to become immortal, and you know they're communicating with fourth dimensional aliens and stuff like that. I mean, that isn't completely wacky if we're talking in forms of like enlightened beings, like. And we've talked about our DMT trips and stuff like that too. Like you're going to a different dimension. It's not three dimensional anymore. It's fourth, maybe even fifth dimensional. It's odd. So maybe aliens aren't even a part of this universe, but they're outside.
But they're here.
Huh?
They're actually here. They're just in another dimension.
Yeah.
Yeah. But wouldn't that mean they would have to write shit down on some type of three-dimensional object, like we would write down words on a two-dimensional surface like paper in order to communicate with us?
I don't know.
I feel like they'd have to dumb it down. They'd have to bring it down to like a three-dimensional thing, you know, that we can see and observe and hear, because they probably speak in fourth dimension, which whatever that means.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it could be, you could argue that like spirits and stuff like that, as far as like, you know, ancient deities, like the Greek gods and stuff like that, like they're not necessarily of the third dimensional realm. Like they're
right.
They transcend it. So maybe, I don't know. It's weird. We can't even prove that there is a fourth dimension.
No. And it's hard to even conceptualize it. It's like metacognition. Have you ever like saw how far you could go down that rabbit hole? I love asking people about this.
No.
But like first you think,
all right,
then you think about how you're thinking,
all right,
then you think about the fact that you're thinking about yourself thinking,
okay,
and then you think about yourself thinking about yourself thinking about thinking.
Yep,
that's four, and I can't stay on five. I can kind of feel it, but I can't stay there. So if you can think about yourself, thinking about yourself, thinking about yourself, thinking about thinking, then you're like a god.
No, I can't.
And that's metacognition, baby. And I love doing that, especially when I'm going to sleep. And then I try to flip the script and make it even more, like put extra layers. Like think okay. about how I'm feeling.
Okay.
And then like I feel how I think about myself feeling.
You crazy bastard.
And then I think about myself feeling how I feel about myself thinking about feeling. Like I just like mix it all up and then you can switch it around, you know?
Yeah, well, that's interesting too, because like if there are alien species, like do they feel the same way we feel, like emotionally, or exactly. are they completely detached of emotion?
Or like, are they so so deep that they're on an emotional level we can't even understand?
Oh, man.
You know?
Oh.
Like, are they so ingrained with one another? Like, when I took DMT and went to that place where I could feel and think, everything else was feeling and thinking. Are they at that level?
Oh, like a singular consciousness almost? Like
yeah, like a hive mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, are they Maybe. A hive mind?
Because... Quite possibly.
That'd be super functional because that'd be like ants on steroids, because then you could like just have one mega thing controlling everyone doing everything exact right time. There'd be never any exactly. slip up.
Exactly. You know? I think to be an advanced, like reach that level of advancement, you'd almost have to be somewhat hive minded. And like we'll talk about other religions and stuff, and we'll go back more into like my own like spirituality and things I've seen and stuff like that. But like from my understanding of like how God, all right, or the gods and the goddesses, demons, etc., how the spiritual realms kind of function and work, is there are separate entities all coming from the same source. So right. even though you might have your own personality and your own ambitions with whatever plans you have going on, that's yeah. ultimately serving the true source, even though it might seem to us on the outside, like looking in, like, hey, like it seems a little bit like weird. Yeah. It's actually serving the same purpose.
I felt that like, when yeah. I was on that. I felt yeah, exactly. that we were actually the entire universe.
Uh-huh.
And almost a nothing at the same time. And that the universe yeah. itself was also everything and nothing at the same time. And that everything is extremely large and extremely small at the same time. It was a weird, and like how it's all interconnected. And like you said, like everything you're doing in your life, everything on your path of life, it all affects the great whole
right.
of everything. It's a weird, weird feeling to have, like this super connectivity to everything.
Yeah. It's man.
Beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
I would love to do it again at some point. It's just so hard to get.
I'm just scared.
I mean, once your third eye's been like ripped open like that, like it is definitely a scary thing to dive back into.
It was definitely like a rape.
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I would
not that I've been raped, but like I would equate it to that type of like intrusion.
Yeah,
like I was just fine, and then all of a sudden, here's what the universe is.
Yeah, no, that's like
okay.
with a lot of my experiences with DMT, which I've only had the two trips, and then my experiences with other spiritual forces, learning about chakras, opening up the third eye, like practicing things like astral projection and communication with things, like I would say some of the most intense experiences that I've learned about how to do things, like it does feel very non-consensual at the time that it's happening. And at the end of the day, like it helps you in your growth and it's like towards a greater good, but it's still like it has like that feeling of like I did not consent to that, but now that it's happened, like I can't not go back.
No, yeah,
or
no,
you're kind of the opposite of rape, because I don't think
because what's that syndrome where like rape victims fall in love with their abusers?
Oh, Stockholm syndrome?
Is that Stockholm? Because I thought that's you had to be like kidnapped for that. I get whatever. It makes sense both ways. But either way, having some type of bond or like love or emotional connection with someone that did something that horrible to you, it's pretty much kind of the same there. It's like, okay, well, I put this in my body. Okay, I did that to myself. And then what it did was bizarre and crazy. I wasn't expecting it. And then I loved what it taught me.
Yeah.
you know. But anyway. Oh, this goes perfectly. This is another beautiful transition into weird ass shit. What's happened to us?
Yes. do you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
Doesn't matter to me. Sure. How about I do one, you do one, then we go back and forth.
All right. Okay.
Like a campfire.
All right. So you go ahead and you go first.
So I'm gonna mess this name up. It's not Arlington Park. It's Allerton Park in Illinois. It's beautiful. It has mazes and like little foo dogs and all this other stuff. Anyway, my girlfriend at the time and I went there and we were having like a cute little day and like, you know, walking around the paths and enjoying the sights and whatnot. And then the park closed. And we're like, it's dark. We have to go. And we go to the car. Car's the last one in the parking lot. I reach for my pockets. There's no keys. We have no keys. I had somehow lost our keys to our house and the car and everything while we were there that day. And so we're like, okay, what do we do? Do we call someone? Like, no, I don't want, you know, our parents knowing how stupid we are, like, or how stupid I am. And then we decided to walk a little of the paths that we walked before. And I didn't think the phones had flashlights back then. No, they didn't. And so we're walking these dark paths and there was a weird ass figure in the distance sitting on a rock, or at least on top of the rock. We didn't even know if it was sitting at the time. And then we got closer and it definitely was a person figure. It was dressed all in black. And so I call out and I'm like, hey, you know, because there's no one else in this park. And he's like, hey. And so I get closer and it's just a dude, but he's wearing like all black, like black pants, black everything. And he's just sitting on the rock like he's meditating or something. And he's like, hey, you've lost something. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, it's your keys. Let's go find your keys. And he gets up and he's like, follow me. And we're like, what? And my girlfriend and I were both freaked out. And I was like, just stay behind me in case he like turns on us and stabs me or some crazy shit. And then so we follow this guy through the path and he actually came to the field that we were at the beginning of the day. And I just shook my whole table and everything went crazy. Anyway, he walks to the middle of the field and leans down, picks up my keys. And it's like, here they are. It was the creepiest thing. And like, of course, a nice gesture. But then he gives me the keys. He's like, have a nice night. And he turns around and starts walking back to the freaking path in the woods in the dark. And mind you, it's really dark out right now. And I'm like, hey, don't you want a ride or something? There's no one else here. And he's like, no, I'm fine. And just walks back into the woods like nothing. And Trace, my girlfriend at the time and I were just staring at each other like, what? And we go back and get in the car and go, and it was nuts. And I confirmed that story with her like several years ago to make sure that I just wasn't losing my mind, because we weren't on tryptamines. We weren't even high at the time. So it's like, it was nuts. So.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh boy. So how old were you when this happened?
Probably 19, no, 18, probably. Maybe wow. 17 or 18.
Okay. And I do remember this because this is, I think you had just talked to her about that the first time that we hung out, like the first time we like actually hung out after I'd left VSC, and you're like, yo, you should come over. I remember you telling me that story, and that is so weird. Because the other thing too is like the park's empty. Like there's nobody there. Like there's no cars.
Yeah,
in the middle of a forest preserve, and you're like walking around trying to find your keys, and this random dude sitting there in the middle of nowhere meditating on a rock's like, hey yo, you're missing your keys, follow me. Like, that's fucking weird.
Yeah. Like, it's like all in black, like weird ass angel or some shit. I'm thinking, okay, here's a realistic spin. Guy was a serial killer and was stalking us all day and wanted to kill us at first.
Okay.
And then he like watched us, and as he watched, he realized he kind of liked us or some shit, or something clicked with us and him and he liked us. And so when we came across him, he's like, I guess I'll help him find their keys. that he somehow got away.
Exactly where your keys were
like, maybe he's slick and like picked them up off the picnic blanket we had. Maybe he picked it up and like walked off with it and like put it there because he knew nobody wouldn't find it. I don't know. That's the only realistic spin I have on this story. It's just very odd.
But wouldn't you have seen him like, you know, tossing them onto the ground and then picking them up?
No. I'm saying earlier in the day. He could have like caught us at the beginning of the day.
Uh-huh.
Yanked my keys, went and like hid them, but it wasn't hidden. It was in the middle of a field that everyone was at. So that's not a very good thought.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, though, because he, like, pointed to the keys, right? He didn't, like, pick them up and give
them to him. No, he didn't even point to them. He just went over there. He went right to them.
Exactly. So, like, you would have seen him, like, I don't know. Yeah, it wasn't a serial killer, that's for sure. Maybe it was...
I don't know what it was.
I don't know what it was. I mean, it doesn't seem like it was a spirit, but I mean, maybe it could have been because it didn't, like, touch you or the physical environment, right?
I believe I shook his hand.
Oh, well then, I don't know. Maybe it was a vampire who was thinking about sucking your blood. And he was like, "Man, not today. Too much melanin in this one."
Dude, dark meat tastes better. Quit playing.
It's true. It is true. That's what I've heard, at least.
I mean, you eat meat. What do you think? You like a chicken leg or you like a chicken breast?
Ooh, I like a chicken breast.
More than a chicken leg.
I do.
Very interesting.
Me and my youngest especially very much enjoy white meat over darker meat. But I also have weird like stomach issues as well. So dark meat at times will mess with that. Like I really don't like pork. Like I don't like.
But you just don't like greasy foods.
Yeah, I don't really care for beef. Like I will sometimes enjoy a good steak or like a burger, but like for the most part I stay away from beef. I'll eat chicken and turkey pretty much. That's about it.
Yeah.
I do eat meat, but I'm not like a huge meat eater. Like I would be fine being vegetarian. I've been vegetarian before. So,
yeah. I ate some great blackened tuna steak yesterday.
You know what I will say is I tried that new, what is it? Whatever Burger King has, the non-meat burger.
Yeah.
Okay.
Impossible.
Yeah, it's all right.
I told you it was okay. It's nothing to write home about.
It's Burger King.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Yeah.
I just got one this past week because I think we were talking about it. And I was like, yeah.
I should take you over here to Luke's in Mundelein. They got a veggie burger that's pretty nice.
There's a bunch of Luke's around.
They get their veggie burger. Their veggie burger is the shit. Maybe everything on it?
No, I haven't had it, but maybe I'll try it. Yeah, all right. So, yeah, I don't know what that was. That was weird. But yeah. All right, we'll talk about my – which one do I want to talk about? I'm going to talk about –
how many do you have?
I have two.
Okay.
We both have two, actually, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I have two. I'm going to get all cozy. Good one. Okay, I think I'm going to I'm going to go with – all right, the first one. Actually, interestingly enough, just as a side note, let me stare at my camera. I'm staring at my screen. As an interesting note, both of these experiences happened with the same person. I'm not going to call them out by name, but you know who you are. And he was also homeschooled. I'm homeschooled. I don't think I've ever said that on here, but I was homeschooled. He was part of a homeschool group. We both met there. And when we were teenagers, you know, homeschooled Christian kids, we were very, very rebellious and we do naughty things. So there was this old mental asylum. They had built a new one in Elgin. It's the Elgin Mental Asylum. And they had the old one. It's torn down now. Like I went back several years later. I think it was like 19 or 20 when I went back to go see it. And I think they had already torn it down. But I want to say 16, maybe 17 when we went. It was a Friday night. We were supposed to be going to a Bible group. I think it was called Awana or something like that at the time. It was like a Friday night thing. You like go to this Bible group and you like, I don't know, sing Jesus songs and stuff like that. We just weren't feeling it. So he was like, yo, my one friend has gone to the he's gone to the Elgin Mental Asylum, the old one, like, and he said it was super creepy. Like, you want to go and break in and look around? It's really easy to get into. And I was like, all right, you're driving, so let's go. So we parked his mom's old station wagon, like a couple blocks down, and we walked over, hopped the fence, walking around the old Elgin Mental Asylum, and it's definitely creepy. Definitely been vandalized. It's pitch black in there. Obviously, there's no electricity running or anything like that, and you just broken glass all over the ground, graffiti and stuff like that. And the entire time we're in there, I just like get this like creepy crawly feeling on like the back of my neck, where like the hairs are standing up, and you like feel like someone's watching you. We had flashlights, and I kept turning around, like looking around, trying to see if there's anybody there. Nobody there. We kept going in and out of like different rooms, just like looking at things. And eventually, like, we started to hear like this sound, like it sounded like water dripping from a ceiling. And we're like, okay, that's weird. So we started to go towards it. And all of a sudden, behind us, we hear the sound of like running feet. And we're like, that's really, like, we turn around like thinking someone's running up on us, and there's nobody there, but the sound of the running feet are getting closer, like someone's barreling straight towards us in the middle of this hall. And we're freaking out because we're looking around with our flashlights and we can't see anybody, but it sounds like someone's headed straight at us from behind us. And then all of a sudden, me and him both, like, we were standing together, we both like feel like somebody ran in between us and bumped us, and we're like, what the fuck? So we start trying to exit quickly because we're freaked out at this point. And then all of a sudden we hear like this like screaming on the other end of the asylum. Like it sounded like a woman screaming. And he's like, do you think somebody's in trouble? And I'm like, I don't know, but whatever is going on, I don't want to be here anymore. And he's a much nicer, caring person than me. And he's like, what if somebody's like hurt? I'm like, bro, I don't care. Let's go. Someone's probably being murdered right now. And he tried to like egg me into going. And so like, I'm scared and I'm walking like a couple paces behind him. And he's going towards whatever had just ran past us and towards the screaming. And all of a sudden at the end of the hall, his flashlight like shines. And I swear to God, it looked like this long, tall, like, individual with, like, a hunched back. It was, like, probably, like, 8 or 9 feet, like, standing at the end. Like, think of, like, a person on stilts. Like, that's how tall this thing was. And it had arms that were just as long, like, on the ground on all fours with, like, this fucking obscenely small head compared to the rest of its body. And, like, I turned and I fucking ran right away because I was like, nope, I'm out, done. He was right behind me. And as we were running, we went to go to the door that we had come in through. The shit was locked. It was locked. Like, we could not get out. So we actually wound up having to bust a window out. And as we busted the window out to jump out of it, like, this big gust of wind like came up behind us, and it wasn't like cold wind. It was hot. Like it was an oven had been opened up. Like, you know how when you open up an oven, like that heat wave comes out, that's what it was like. And like we busted the glass out. This hot wave came behind us and like shot out through like the windows, and we jumped out and we ran. And we were completely sober at the time, and I don't know what the fuck that was, but it scared the shit out of me. And I had straight up nightmares for like a couple weeks, and I think that's when my insomnia started too, because I've had very bad insomnia that I've suffered with since I was like a teenager, where I kind of need to be on a sleep schedule, and if I don't go to bed at a certain time, then I just don't sleep, and it's terrible. And I've had medication for it before too, but I don't enjoy the way the medication makes me feel. So yeah, that was weird, and it definitely messed with my brain for the rest of my life. So yeah.
Wow.
I don't know.
What's that thin man thing called?
Just Slender Man?
Slender Man. But it wasn't like that. It was all hunched and its arms were all, oh my God, that's all creepy.
I don't even think Slenderman was a thing at the time, so I don't know what it was.
What did its eyes look like? Did it have eyes? Like, what is it?
Two big glowing white orbs. And no. I couldn't see anything else. Like, yeah, it was weird. I didn't enjoy it. It made me feel very scared.
Fuck, man.
This lady screaming, something ran in between us and like almost knocked us on our asses and we couldn't see it. Like, dude.
And your friend's like, oh, I wonder if they're in trouble. I'm with you. I've been gone. I've been so gone. And when that door was locked, I would have been squealing like a little girl. Like my friend came up.
So when the door was locked, I obviously was running. And he's like 6'6". Like he's way taller than me, right? Like he's a long-limbed, skinny motherfucker. I still beat him to that fucking door. And I'm pulling on it and I can't get out. And again, I'm 16, 17, like a homeschooled mommy's boy. I'm like, fuck you, Aaron. I hate you. Why'd you do this to me? Just freaking out on him. I was crying. Like, it was bad. Yeah. I was having a panic attack.
Yeah.
It was not cool.
I think that's the proper reaction to that scenario.
I totally bitched out. I had zero spine at all. I was like, I'm going to fucking die.
No, like one of my friends came up with his big butcher knife. You worked with him at the clinic. And I was like, what are you doing? He's all acting like a thug, like messing with this big knife behind me. And I like go back to washing the bowls, you know, the dog bowls. And he pokes me with something sharp, you know, right in between the ribs. And it was like a pen or something. But
yeah,
I jumped out of my skin and I was like, woo! That was the exact noise I made.
Yeah. Which so I'd like to imagine that I'd be like, calm and collected and manly in a situation, but no
man,
that shit scared me.
We both found that my dying sound if I'm murdered is woo. So I'd be right with you in that situation. I'd be like, oh my, we're fucking dying, man.
Yeah. I was crying. There were tears streaming down my cheek. But like the most disturbing part about it wasn't even like the getting like knocked around thing or the big creature at like the end of the hall or whatever. I could take all that stuff. Like that's obviously scary as shit. But like the weirdest part was when we busted the window out and just like the hot wind that like came out as we busted the window. Like we were letting some type of like we were inside an oven and we were letting the heat out. That was so weird. And I don't know how to explain that. Like, and I'm a hairy guy too.
Yeah.
And I'm hairy and I had like, if you've ever like burned like your hair on your arm as a guy or anything like that, that's what my entire, both my arms were like.
They were singed?
They were singed.
Oh, wow.
It was fucking weird.
So you had physical evidence of this.
Yeah. I didn't enjoy it.
That's weird.
Yeah. So, you know, don't go inside mental asylums because that was just the Elgin mental asylum. It's not like it was even like a famous one. It was just like in the middle of the Midwest. Like, and it wasn't huge. It was small. It was vandalized. But like, there's obviously something going on there. I don't know.
No, I've had friends that record like voices in different places and they've actually shared their recordings with me. And
yeah,
like one thing said this dude's name.
Yeah.
He was off. Was that Ela Road?
Uh-huh.
Either way, it's like some cemetery that kids go to. And he recorded a thing talking to him. And he's like, what do you want? Can I help you? And he's like, had like a conversation with him.
Yeah.
I'm getting like chills and goosebumps and shit. Like I'm very science minded in the fact I don't believe in any of this crap. But then like people tell me this or share recordings or whatever. And I'm just like, my body reacts. I mean, obviously something weird happens.
I mean, I find it interesting that you're so scientifically minded and you've had the experience with the key thing happen. You had the one that we're going to talk about.
Maybe I'm in denial.
Maybe.
Maybe.
There's other things you've told me that we're not going to talk about because you guys don't need to know that have happened, that you have had things happen to you that make it seem that there's obviously some other force out there. But what is it?
What other? Can you give me some type of vague? What are you talking about?
Just like, you know, you've had you know, thoughts about something happening to somebody and then that thing happening.
Yes. True. Yes. Yeah. No. Well, that's, yeah. That's
we'll,
all very
we'll not personal. Incriminate ourselves.
Yeah. And I've had other people join me in those things and yeah. have witnessed the outcome as well.
Or even the lady, the old lady who cleaned at the place that we both worked at before. You've told me a couple stories about
Holy
her.
Holy crap. We yeah. can talk about that today. Yeah.
You want right, to talk so, about her today? Okay.
Yeah, we should.
We're gonna involve no. a third party. We're
no, I won't I won't say it. Any names. I won't say any names. Anyone listening no, to this, the nose or nose cool issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
all right. Well, so you're
here's my second
all right.
thing. My friend and I were skateboarding all day. We went to visit an old friend of ours that had been struggling with cocaine addiction. So we're like, let's check on him, make sure he's all right. We go to his apartment building. It's all ratty. It's like nasty apartment building. We go in and him and his girlfriend and this guy wearing black are there. And my friend was angry because he ran out of coke. He was like really agitated. And then his girlfriend said something and then he got up and like smacked her. And so I stood up and pushed him on the couch and was like, don't fucking put your hands on her. Like, I don't care what you're going through. You don't put your hands on people. And then he got mad and went in the other room. And then this weird little dude in the chair in the corner didn't say anything or move the entire time. So my friend and I were like, what's up with this guy? And so, like, I go to investigate this guy. And I'm like, what's up with you? And he said his name. I don't remember what his name was. He's literally probably 5 foot. 5'4", no more than like 100-105 pounds, like super scrawny. It's the middle of summer, so it's like 90 some degrees out, but he was wearing like the other dude, all black and like a long sleeve everything, and he's all pale. And we were like, so what's your story? And he's like, well, I've been around for a very long time. And I'm like, yeah, well, you look 19. And he's like, yeah, well, I've been around for a very, very long time. And I'm like, okay. And then he's like, check this out. And he like pulls his gum up and another tooth, like his gum starts bleeding, first of all. And then like a sharp point starts coming out from the top of his gum and protrudes through his gum. And he has blood from his gum coming down and he wipes the blood off. And he has fangs at this point in front of his teeth right here, his canines. And he's like, come touch him. If you don't think they're real, because my friend and I were like, no way, no way, no way, you know, and I've heard of implants and tech and things like that. But like, that was the most realistic crap I ever saw. And then when we touched them and they were like really, really strong, like a normal tooth, but I would say even stronger. And like they were thinner and sharper. And I was like, all right, all right. So you're like some type of vampire or something. And he's like, well, they've called us many things throughout the years. But yeah, that's one of them. And I'm like, so how does it work? Can I be one? Like, what's up? Give me in your gang. How do I sign up? You get to live for a long time and have sharp teeth and shit. And that's great. And he's like, it doesn't work like that. It's genetic. Like, you either are one or you aren't. And like, I'm like, so how do you feed? Does it have like little straws in there? He's like, yeah, there's little tubes inside the teeth that suck up the blood. And I'm like, so what do you do? You kill people and eat them? He's like, no, that's so outdated. Like, we usually go to blood banks. We have people that work in the blood banks that hand us like, you know, what we need for the week. And it's not a big deal. And I'm just like, okay. And then we go out and skate and he was watching a skateboard. And then we look and he was gone. He didn't say goodbye. No one watched him leave. It was a very weird evening. So yeah, that was my experience with whatever that was. Some guy with seriously sophisticated implants or an actual vampire
came down out of his gums.
Yeah, and it looked like it was hurting him. Like, he was like, looked like he was constipated. Ugh. You know, shoving him out.
So like, when they came out, did they come down over
yeah
the actual canines?
Yeah.
Oh,
Yeah, they were like,
did he retract them at all ever? Or did they stay out after he did it?
They were gone after he was talking for a while.
Weird. That's yeah. So weird.
And you were... he let us touch him and everything. And then as he was talking, they kind of went back. I didn't notice like a fast retraction or anything like that.
Interesting. And they came out slow, obviously.
Yeah.
That's so freaking weird.
And involved pain. I'm like, so you have to like break through skin every time you do this? He's like, yeah, we don't feed that often.
I guess I wonder what would be the point of feeding if you don't, like, do they not eat food at all? They just feast off blood?
He said he can. It wasn't that great.
Interesting. It
didn't really sit well with him.
What's this whole it's genetic thing?
Like, he was born that way, and like they were in his family. Not everyone in his family were that, you know?
That's weird.
But it just passes over, and sometimes you have one pop out, but the family knew about it and like protected their own. And like all the families that have them all know each other across the world.
They've got people in blood banks and stuff like that, giving them blood so they're not killing people.
Right.
Interesting.
My idea is the governments of the world would all have knowledge of these sorts of things and then like protect it.
Oh, definitely. Like, I mean, going back to like extraterrestrial life and stuff like that, like there's all different weird factions of the CIA and the FBI and stuff like that. Like they heavily investigate the paranormal. There's a whole division.
Is that a thing?
Huh?
Do they really?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
There's a whole division that, that like has done research on like into the truth surrounding Bigfoot, like just
Loch Ness monster and shit.
Yeah. So I mean, I don't know. That is weird because that's actual. You were there. You have somebody who's confirmed it with you. Both of you were completely sober, and you have like physical evidence of like the teeth retracting and. Interesting. Like, so this guy that you visited, like you went to his apartment, right? He lived in an apartment. So this vampire, I don't know.
Whatever.
We're going to call him Dave. We're going to call him Dave the vampire because I don't know. Dave, did he live in these apartments or like was he just like, what was he doing?
He would not answer many questions. I'm like, where are you from? Where you stay? Like, he's like around.
But like, why was he in your friend's apartment? That's the weird part.
Another question I could not get out of either one of them. I said, Nate, how do you know this guy? And, or shit, I just said his name. Anyway, I said, whatever, how do you know this guy? And he's like, you know, I just met him.
Your friend, interesting. It's interesting that neither of them would tell you.
Yeah.
What are you hiding?
Are you
hiding, Dave? No,
this guy, my friend, was very interesting himself. Like, he's the one that pushed me with, like, DMT and all this other stuff. And like,
okay.
His dad was a Native American, like shaman type guy. They had like all sorts of plants growing in their basement and he'd meditate all the time and like tell me there's a lot more to life than what I'm thinking there is. And like, take me on these journeys. And like, this dude could sit like cross-legged in front of a squirrel and the squirrel would come up to him and stand upright and he'd have a conversation with the squirrel.
That's dope. I want to have a like conversation with squirrel.
He could do this like, and nobody else could make the squirrel do this. And he could always do this. And he'd do weird things like play chicken with semi trucks at 80 miles an hour. We got almost died in a lake. He had a brand new Honda, I believe it was Honda Accord or something. Beautiful, 6-cylinder. And it was raining out. We were all on mescaline. Shouldn't have been. And he goes off the road and we're in a, like pretty much the lake, like the water off the side of highways, you know, like the big divots. The car was sinking. We were sinking.
You were sinking.
And I'm like, guys, we're sinking. And he's like, nah, it's not that big of a deal. And I'm like, nah, we're going to sink. And so I like get out and rip my girlfriend out of the back seat and get her out and like come back and help him out. And then we're all standing on the side of the road soaked in really cold rain. And this guy picks us up, like, what happened? He's like, oh, you know, my car fell off the road. But that was like a normal day. This guy is just crazy. And then he had to spend some time in jail, and I didn't reach out to him, so he never talked to me again.
So was the
anyway, was vampire Dave? Kid. Yeah, Dave.
Was Dave Native American at all, like your friend?
He's straight up scrawny European.
Straight up Anglo-Saxon European.
Yeah.
Weird.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, that's but like creepy. He was more pale than most white people for sure. He was like sickly dead pale. He didn't look right. I thought the guy was on heroin.
Oh, so you thought he was like, that makes sense.
I thought he was a druggie.
Yeah.
You're dressed all warm in warm weather. I mean, dressed for cold weather and warm weather.
Right. And you're all pale. And yeah.
It's like Kurt Cobain when he was on his bin. He'd be wearing sweaters in the middle of like July.
Was he sweating at all or anything like that? Or he just looked, no? Interesting. That's weird. The weirdest part about it is the teeth. Like that's like the selling point. Cause like he could have been some weird guy who was just like, yeah, you know, but like that and the fact you got to like touch them, like weird. I don't know. I can't explain that one. I don't know.
Super sharp, man. Super sharp. If those things went in your neck, you'd take a second before you noticed.
Now the teeth, were they completely solid or did they have like a groove in it at all? Do you remember?
They didn't have a groove I could see.
Okay.
Like they look thinner,
yeah,
in the way they could like come right over the tooth, but like be almost like a film.
And it was just like real thin. Not the bottom at all.
Nope.
Interesting. That's weird.
Yep.
I want to know more about Dave and his people that work at Plug Pigs.
Yeah. No, I just want to be one. So unfair. But I just want to be one.
He said they don't live forever either, right?
No, he did not say that.
Oh, he didn't say that.
He said he's been around for a long time. I'm like 100 years. He's like a long time. I'm like hundreds of years. He's like a long time. I'm like, okay.
A long time.
This Dave was born in a cave in like
Transylvania. Maybe.
He's like, Vlad the Impaler was my nephew, bro.
Maybe Dave is a extraterrestrial.
Who knows?
I don't know. That's
that weird. Was my other weird thing.
All right. Well,
so you got another one. It's already been an hour and 16 minutes, but we're gonna do this. We're gonna take it home.
We're gonna talk about my last one. Then we'll talk about the lady a little bit and some of those things, and then we'll talk about why you're still a skeptic and why I'm not.
No, we're not. We're not gonna talk about that. That's not what we're gonna talk about.
All right. My last one is a little bit. It's weird and not as weird as the first one, because the first one's like a lot more dramatic, I guess. But again, me and my friend, you know, out at night again. We're actually working out at the time at like the local park district. And this was sometime in, I want to say it was like the autumn, because it was a little cold. I remember I was wearing like a hoodie and pants, even though I wasn't big into wearing shorts during the summer. When I was younger, because I don't know, I didn't like them, but I want to say it was like in the autumn, so it got dark out earlier, and the park district was maybe like half a mile from where I lived. We both lived in the same neighborhood. He lived like 4 or 5 blocks over from me, and so we're walking back from the park district, and there's always like this. There's this waste management plant that was in the neighborhood, and it was fenced on one side. And then there was a field across the road from it that had nothing to do with the waste management plant that we knew of that was completely fenced as well. And I always like wondered what was back there. There was a guy who lived across the street from me who was like the vice president of like a software engineering company, and him and a bunch of the other more wealthy dads in the area had gotten together, and like they'd gone to like the township to like see if they could like buy this fenced off land so that they could like have like a dirt bike racing track, because his son was really into dirt bikes and shit like that. And they'd said like, no, this land's not for sale, but they wouldn't tell anybody why. So I didn't like think anything of it really. I found this out over the years, but we decided, heck, it's laid out like our parents aren't expecting us back anytime soon, because we decided we didn't really feel like working out that day. So we're like, let's go like cut across this field and like go back by this field that we were always talking about going by, but we never did. And there was a break in the fence that was right next to like this little, like, I wouldn't even call it a river. It was like a stream. And so we walked in there. And all it is it's a big open field. Like, there's no buildings back there or anything like that. We didn't walk like all the way back across it, but it's just like a big field that's fenced in with barbed wire fencing, and it says don't trespass. There's one gate that leads in and out to it that's like one of those automatic ones, and you'd occasionally see like people from like the township drive in and out of it. So I don't know what is further back in the field, but we didn't go that far back. We're just kind of like walking around back there. It's nighttime, and we look up in the sky because it's really bright because it's an open field, and we live in the middle of the suburbs, so we don't ever get to see like the sky without light pollution. And I mean, there's still light pollution because there's the towns around us, but it was a nice big open dark field, and we could like see the stars, and we're like, this is awesome. Like, there's so many stars out. And it was a fairly cloudless night too. So we're walking around, we're looking up at the sky, looking at the stars, and all of a sudden, like, I see like this like glowing orb, like kind of like spinning around, like spinning like this in a circular motion. All right. I'm like, all right, that's weird. I don't know what that is. I'm not educated about space or anything like that. And it's an orange, not orange, but like a yellow orb, and it's circular, and it's bigger than most of the stars. So it's obviously closer to us than the rest of the stars are. And so then we're looking up at it, and I point out to him, and he's like, that's so weird, because it's just doing circles, like slow circles too. And then all of a sudden he like points, and he's like, what's that over there? And there's another one. About the exact same size. It was like a little bit smaller, so it was a little further away. And it's moving very quickly towards the spinning one, and it's like going up and down, like in like a zigzag pattern, like very quickly. And then it gets to where the one's circling, and it stops right on the outer perimeter of this circling one. And the circling one continues to circle, and then the other one circles counterclockwise to it. So now they're both spinning like this in the air, suspended in space, just spinning. Then they start to like come closer, like down, like it seemed like they were approaching the Earth, the atmosphere, right? They come down closer, and they get decently sized, like probably about like the size of like a plate, like in our perimeter. And then they stop, and they're just hovering there. And they just hover there, and they hover there, and they hover there, just suspended in space, not moving at all. Then they start to do the circle thing again. One goes clockwise, the other one goes counterclockwise. And then all of a sudden, halfway through their circle, they zip off apart from each other and disappear into the distance. So that's weird. Okay. I don't know what that is. Some type of aircraft or something. We're like, eh, maybe those are UFOs. I don't know. It's super weird. Never seen anything like it. So we go home. It's 2 days later, and I'm taking out the garbage because it was a Thursday. So I was taking the garbage and the recycling out. It's night again. And I pull the garbage can around from the back of the house to the front of the house. I put it out front. I take the recycling bin. I go back for the recycling bin. As I pull the recycling bin out, all of a sudden, there's this guy standing at the very end of my driveway, and he's dressed in a all black. I wouldn't call it a suit, but it was like a black shirt that was like a button up, and the sleeves were like too long for him. Like, they went up to like here on his hand, and all you could see was like his fingers. You couldn't even really see his thumb. And he wore black pants that looked like dress pants that were like a little bit too long. And like, he wore dress shoes, but like the dress shoes like were like had like elevated platforms. So like the sole of the shoe was like that big. So that was weird. And the way he was standing, like the street light like cut across, but like you couldn't see his face at all. Like, his face was completely shadowed. And he was wearing like a hat so that it was like covering his face. And I like stopped and I was like, what the fuck's going on? And he looks at me and he goes, we know what you saw, and we'd like you to not tell anybody about it. And I'm like, what? And he's like, we know what you saw, and we'd like you to not tell anybody about it. I'm like, okay, what did I see? And he's like, that is the appropriate response. And I'm like, all right, like, who are you? What are you doing? And I have my siblings in the house, and my mom's in the house, and nobody's wondering where I've been this entire time. And he goes, don't tell anybody about what you've seen. And I'm like, okay. And then this car pulls down the street. It was like a black car, like an older looking like Buick, or I don't know, maybe it was a Cadillac. I'm not good with cars. But it was like an older looking, it looked like it was like from the 80s, like the body of it. It pulled down the street. And as it pulled down the street, each streetlight that it passed, the streetlight would go off. And it stopped at the end of the driveway, and he got in the passenger side. And I distinctly remember looking and not seeing a driver in the driver's side part of the car at all. Like, unless they were like leaning way back, like in there like that, I didn't see anybody. And then the weirdest part happened. The car backed away all the way down the street the way that it had come. And it had the lights off. That was the other thing. The headlights were off. So it was dark. And as it backed away down the street, the way that it had came, streetlights started to go on one at a time. And that is the weird experience that I had. And then I told my friend about that. And he's like, I didn't have any experiences with that. And the other thing was the neighbor across the street, he was bringing his trash out as the car was like backing away with the headlights off leaving. And he came across the street and he was like, what is that? Are you okay? And I was like, I didn't want to tell him anything about this guy, but I was like, yeah, I'm fine, because it scared the shit out of me. So I talked to my friend Aaron, and I asked him if he had ever been approached by anybody. And he was like, no. And that was my other weird experience that I've had. So, yeah.
Yeah. You shouldn't have told anyone, man.
I've told several people and nothing's ever happened. So, yeah. I don't know what that was. I don't know how to explain it. I don't know if he worked for the government or if it was...
I mean, I would assume so, with EMP technology going down the streets.
That was the creepiest part. The fact that the car came up with no headlights on and each streetlight went out. And then it went back on as the car backed away.
Yeah.
And again, nobody was in the, not that I could see at least. I can't say that there wasn't anybody in the driver's seat, but like I looked and I did not see anybody back there. So again, unless they're like leaning way back and then they could.
For the record, I don't know this guy.
And again, it was just weird because like he was wearing a button up shirt, but the sleeves were like, oh, there you go. Like down to there on his fingers.
He probably just bought the shirt for that night and messed up with the size. Who knows? All I know is that's bad.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. I don't know. I've listened to some episodes by different podcasters and stuff on extraterrestrials. And maybe it was I'm blanking on what the name of it is now. Maybe it was a man in black. I don't know. I haven't really looked into it at all. I know that people have had experiences with men in black and stuff.
You should have been like,
right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know what it was. It freaked me the hell out. It really upset me that my friend didn't see it. And yeah, I don't like it. I didn't like it at all.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Oh yeah. The last one was just the lady at our job. We worked together, a bruja, a Mexican witch.
Uh-huh.
So the first time that, wow, I had several instances, but like the first time it was like 5 a.m. I just got to work and I had to shovel and salt the front walkways for the clients to come in so they don't sue us. and of course, so they don't injure themselves. And she was in the vestibule, the entryway cleaning, and I went to go back in, and the door was locked because there's security until, you know, the place opens the front. And so I was knocking on the door, like, come on, let me in, it's cold. And she just laughed. She was just laughing at me from far away, mind you. She's like 20 feet away from the door, just laughing at me. And I'm like, this is not funny, let me in. And then she's like, all right, come in, just like that. And then sure enough, the door wasn't locked anymore, and I walked in. And she did that to me twice. And then if anyone got pregnant, she could take her, I think it was a Santa Muerte necklace. She could take it off and hold it over her hand. At first, she puts it in your hand, and you have to hold it in your hands. And then she takes it from you, and she holds it above your hand. And if it spins in a circle, starts spinning for no reason, you're going to have a girl. And if it, like, I think just goes back and forth or doesn't move at all, you have a male. I don't remember. But every time she did that, she was accurate. She did it with me. She said I was going to have a girl. I had a girl. She's just bizarre, but she was friendly. She's still a friendly person. But yeah. I don't know what your experiences were with her, but I remember one day I was like, oh, you know, you need to teach me how to do that stuff. And she just laughs at me. And I was like trying to move something with my mind on the table. You know, I had like my fingers in intense concentration, just trying to move something with my mind. And she's like, you're doing it wrong.
Like, the only experience I ever had with her was she went to go drop a mop. Like it slipped out of her hands. And I don't know if it was intentional or not, because she was an interesting, like you said, like she's like a warm Hispanic mother, like, you know, but still like gives me like weird goosebumps. She like dropped it and it was out of her hand by about that much and it bounced back. And then she like, it was like a fucking horror movie too. Cause remember I worked late at night. This was like it.
Oh, what did her head turn to you? Like, no, all slow? Like,
it didn't turn slow, but like, she got it back. And then she like looked at me and she was like, and then went on her way. And I was like, the fuck was that? I didn't even know her name. I only worked there a month, so I don't know, but
I know her name. Very well. I've been to her house.
But yeah, no, that weirded me out. Cause again, it was like about that far away and then popped right back in her hand. She looked at me, smiled, and walked away. I was like,
wait, what? She wasn't using her foot to press it back?
Nope.
Her foot wasn't on the base of it?
No, I was watching. Because I remember you telling me that story about the door thing, and I was like, was there like a button she could have pushed? And you're like, no. There's nothing. There's no explainable reason for it.
Yeah.
That's awesome that you were trying to Neo it, and she was like, you're doing it wrong. Yeah, I don't know. There's something weird and unnatural about our universe and our reality, and I don't understand it. I haven't really learned. I shouldn't say that. I have learned how to affect it for certain outcomes in certain ways, but I'm definitely not a master at it. I wouldn't say I'm an adept yet either, but I'm trying. It's interesting. It's an interesting journey that
I played around with the darker side of things and definitely saw some things, and I think I'm just gonna take a break. Maybe a break till I'm not alive anymore. I don't know. I just know. I know that it's not something you want to carelessly attempt to do.
No,
nothing you should take lightly.
The most interesting part, maybe we'll end on here, when it comes to like spirits and magic and stuff like that, is we think of things in terms of very like black and white, like good and bad, good and evil, and that's a very Zoroastrian way of thinking about things.
Well, my thing is there is consequence.
There is consequence.
So if you don't mean what you say, or you don't mean what you want to occur,
yep,
if there's doubt in any way, there are consequences.
That is karma.
So I think if you're trying to do something bad to someone and something horrible happens to them because of that, and then you actually have guilt.
Yep.
Or you regret doing it.
Yep.
Then bad things are going to happen to you.
Exactly.
And I think that's why I don't want to play around with things. Right. I never want to use things like, oh, I want them to get $1 million. Let me, Right. I'm always like, no, they fucked with me. I want them to slip and hit their head on a corner of a sharp table.
Yeah. No, I mean, that is karmic. That's essentially what karma is, in my understanding of it, is karma is not something where, like, you do something bad and then something bad happens to you. If you do something bad and you feel guilt about it, then the universe is going to pay you back for it because of that guilt. And that's the hardest part.
10 times fold, you know, like.
Yep.
It's going to be bad. It's going to be brutal.
Yeah. So you definitely need to be in the right mental space when you're working with anything, whether it's you perceive it as dark or light or whatever. You have to be in the right mental space to do it. And if you're not, then you should not attempt it.
Well, also, you can't ever regret it down the road either.
No.
You have to stay with that conviction for the rest of your life.
You have to David Bowie it. David Bowie was the greatest black magician of our time. He fully inhabited his roles and his characters, and he became and embodied them all the way up until the very end with his Black Star album. He's a perfect example of, like, a magician who did it right. Because even people like Aleister Crowley and Anton LaVey and all that stuff towards, like, the end of the life, like, they had a miserable time with it because they stopped believing in doing the things that that they had been doing in their past. So yeah, you can't regret it.
I don't think that I'll ever not believe what happened. I just know that I don't want to fuck it up one day.
Yeah, no.
I don't know what the consequences of good magic is, like, or whatever, like being positive, sending positive vibes out or helping healing. Like, what if you didn't mean them well? What if it was insincere that you met them well? Are you still going to be met with negative stuff because of karma?
It's very weird. That's the thing. There's no way of proving it. There's no direct science, and that's what makes it.
Yeah, I don't even want to wish people well anymore. I don't want to wish people well or wish someone wrong. You know, like, I just don't want to mess with forces I'm not sure of.
Yeah, I understand. I understand people's apprehension to it, and I don't fault anybody for not delving further into it, because it's definitely not, it's scientific and it's not, so it's weird. It's good to maintain skepticism with everything that you experience and you do. So on that note, I think our episode for next week is going to be not as, I don't know, it could be considered weird. It won't be as weird. It'll be a little bit more political. We're going to talk about the meat industry. We're going to talk about vegetarianism, veganism versus eating meat. Are we omnivores? What's the ethical way of consuming animals and meat?
Yeah. And its ecological ramifications,
yep,
or lack thereof. And yeah, I mean, so, I think after a couple videos you had me watch, like, I've thought about it a lot lately.
Yeah.
I think more, I still side with vegetarianism probably now because of the emotional aspect, but we'll talk about it.
Yeah, we'll get into it. We'll also get into, like, they're creating, or they're attempting to, they haven't made it in a way where it's physically feasible for them to do it, but, like, meat generated in labs and stuff like that, and what the future could look like if we invest more into that versus the meat and slaughterhouse industry. But we'll get into that next week. I hope you guys have enjoyed this episode. I'm Jareth Blackstar. You can find me on YouTube on Jareth RR Blackstar. Still haven't uploaded anything yet, but I'll be getting around to it. You have Namwon Sakati. You can find him on SoundCloud. You can find us on social media. We hope you've enjoyed the podcast. Make sure to like, share, and subscribe. Ooh, I finally did it. I finally did the like, share, and subscribe.
I said it.
Like, share, and subscribe it, or we'll be sad.
I feel dirty. No, I saw one of my friends.
Promotion. Self-promotion.
I've seen one of my friends that do you like buttons? Have you seen that? On my boobies. Rubbing on my boobies. I sent her that as a do you like buttons?
Yeah. So we hope you guys enjoyed it. And we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
Peace.